Live from Stadium Swim at Circa Las Vegas, it's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
I don't know the words. You know Ghostbusters. You're ready for that part.
Ghostbusters.
That's Salerno.
I'm here.
I'm here.
It's Cofield. Timing's off. I think we need an I'm here every time I introduce somebody. Let me try it again. It's Cofield.
I'm here.
Mateo.
I'm here.
Jake.
I'm here.
And Griffin, who says he looks like Zach Bryan.
I'm here.
I don't know about that one. I looked at pictures of Zach Bryan.
Oh, I got to look dude up now.
Let's just say this. You to Zach Bryan.
He does look
is
like
sort
Zach.
Of ridiculous when people. Do you think?
Yeah, look at it. Show the picture that you just showed me.
Oh, my God.
Right?
Is that your costume?
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, I saw him with blonde hair, like in a side part. That's pretty close, man.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. It's something I've gotten a lot, and I just, you know, decided this morning, I was like, I got to have a costume, got to be festive, might as well just lean into it.
Not to be weird, but he must clean up, right?
Did women
Griffin,
at...
I mean, come on.
Did women at work say you look like Zach Bryan? Be very careful about this answer. This could be a very strong HR violation.
No, not really. They've all asked me, you know, a lot of everybody here at the station's been asking, what's your costume? And I've kind of danced between telling them I'm Zach Bryan, telling them I'm white trash, telling them, you know, just kind of country artist.
I'm big arm guy, get the F out of the way.
Yeah, I would have already assumed all three of those if you told me Zach Bryan. So I
Wait, all you right. say you assume white trash?
No.
Don't be afraid to answer.
I'm not afraid. Down the that was a joke. Now.
Greg has been pretty ridiculous today. Borderline outrageous. I think the dumbest thing you said today was that you can kick a 30-yard field goal off a tee.
Let's do it then.
I don't think you have any leg drive. I don't care what you can squat.
Oh, dude, I could kick a ball far.
Are you
I'm
sure?
I'm telling you, yes. I'm not saying I can kick a field goal with doing a finger. I'm saying if you give me a football and like punt it, though, I'll kick a ball. You'd be like, wow, he kicks a ball really
20
far.
Yards?
20 yards? Get out of here. And maybe in the air. Well, actually, no, it's farther than that.
All right, Griffin.
I'm getting big Uncle Rico vibes from Greg today from Napoleon Dynamite.
That hurts because
hey,
it's true.
He made it to the Raiders.
He did. He did play in the league. Got to give that to Rico.
See?
5 o'clock hours here. Do you want to continue to rail on the sports books and bettors backing the Jets to the point where it's now the hapless Jets?
I just
2.5.
It's almost one of those worrisome things. Like, what do they know that I don't know? Because I can't imagine why. I mean, I could see maybe the other way around, having it close in the Texans' favor. I don't understand why the Jets are favored. Like, what is the reason?
Because they're supposed to be good, and their numbers say they're not a 2-6 team.
I guess.
I mean, you're right. It's hard to believe, but this is why. Like this kind of game for me as a Jets fan, I can't bet this.
Right.
Because I've got emotions involved, and honestly. Anytime I hear a handicapper, and you're not one, but anytime I hear a handicapper, and I was thinking about this because I hear a lot of people are new to the business where they're like, this sucks, they suck. Okay, you're out.
Right.
If you use terms like they suck or terrible, you're not a better. Like when you listen to Brad Powers, you will rarely hear him say that because everything is kind of measured and down the middle, and it's just like a little variance here and there. You never overreact to something that looks really bad, and you also never overreact to a team that looks really great. I'll admit it. I had no problem yesterday. Alex, when I ripped her head off live on the, I didn't crush her, but she still has the Chiefs power rated number one. Listen, they're unbeaten, okay, but I don't see it. And I think we're actually both kind of not high variance people. Are you buying that the Chiefs are the best team?
I'm here.
That they're the best team in the NFL because they've gotten out of the gates here.
They remind me a lot. And I'm not saying they're going to fall apart like they did, but they remind me a lot of the Eagles last year, the first 10 games when they were 10-0.
You think it's going to come crashing down?
I don't know if it's going to come crashing down, but they're going to have a game where they don't look like – because a lot of these games are so close. They could have gone either way. They've blown a couple teams out, but they're relying a lot on defense, which is, you know – and when your strength is supposed to be your offense and you're still getting by, a lot of times that comes back to haunt you. And I don't know. I don't see them as running the table. I mean, let's put it that way.
Griffin, will you be mad if I take the Buccaneers in Circa Million? You got body slammed yesterday on your choice of the Bears. Basically, people told you, no, you can't have the Bears.
I got blocked because they know that's the right answer. They know that's an easy pick. It's too easy.
Bucks and Chiefs are locked in. It's now 8.5 on the Circa Million card that got sent out this morning. That might be my pick. Bucks plus 8.5 on the road. That takes some stones, right, doesn't it?
Yes. But
the Bucks, not a perennial winner. You got an unbeaten Chiefs team. All they do is win. They got Pat Mahomes. Kelsey's turning the corner. I don't think he is.
No.
He had a good game.
I mean, the Chiefs have been relying on their defense now for over a year. So I think they're going to have a game eventually. I mean, I don't know if it's the Bucks game, but they're going to have a game eventually where it's like, wow, what happened to this team? And then they may come back and be normal again. But
so all day long, we followed in the path of very lazy and unoriginal sports talk shows. We're one of them. And Griffin, I'll blame him for this, he sent over a Halloween candy topic. But I think it's more than that, and that's why it's acceptable on the show. That's why it passed the test. It was Dan Orlovsky's list. It says Dan Orlovsky gives terrible take on overrated Halloween candy on that Greenberg show, Get Up. Here's my issue. Do you watch that show, or do you watch Orlovsky?
I try not to be up that early, but I have watched clips of it afterwards. When they're talking about certain subjects I want to see, I'll go watch what they said.
Griffin, do you know anything about Dan Orlovsky and kind of one of the running jokes on all the ESPN shows he does?
I've heard a lot about that his takes are just kind of garbage. Every time he lists anything, it's always kind of like, what? Are you serious? So besides that and his time on the Detroit Lions, that's about as much as I know about Orlovsky.
I think his takes are okay. One of the bits they do is that the guy doesn't eat anything. Like, he's 6'6". He's a freaking workout warrior.
He's 6'6"?
Yeah.
Six.
He's like, he's like 210 pounds of all muscle.
Sure.
His wife, I don't know if she's a, but she's into it too. But they joke all the time. Like, he never deviates to eat anything good. It's just like white turkey, whatever salad. Like, that's.
Yeah.
And I'm like, so maybe this is a bit and we didn't see the bit part of it. But Orlovsky, a former quarterback in the NFL, listed his overrated candies. I mean, right off the bat, he's got Reese's. Do you go Reese's or Reese's?
Reese's.
Exactly. Be a normal human being. Yes. Learn how to pronounce something.
Yes.
Reese's.
Yes. That's the most ridiculous thing ever. It's probably the best one.
It's a strong
top five, at least.
If you're doing a bit, that's a strong start to get people all pissed off.
Sure. I mean, he literally listed all the best ones.
Butterfingers?
Great.
I don't like Butterfingers.
You don't?
Griffin?
Love Butterfingers.
Love them.
Okay, 2-1. I lose. Twizzlers.
Take it or leave it.
I told you I'm more into the gummy, chewy food than Halloween candy, so I love Twizzlers. Nerds.
Get them out of here.
Okay.
No use.
I mean, Hershey's chocolate bars.
Amazing.
Overrated.
I mean, come on.
Overrated.
Overrated?
It's like the most basic candy bar ever. It's just Hershey. It's just chocolate.
Yeah, exactly. It's amazing.
You smooth out the Hershey's logo off the chocolate bar and you hand it to me and I eat it, I'm not going to be able to tell you where it's from, which candy, which company.
Why does that matter? It's still going to be amazing in your mouth.
All chocolate is. But
5:08, Hershey's. Time mark. It's going to be amazing in your mouth. Greg Salerno.
Got it.
Okay.
Hershey's all day.
I don't think this list is terrible. I'm kind of in the middle on Hershey's. I think we've advanced a lot where we can have multiple treats in a treat.
Sure, but you still go back to classic Coke. You know, Hershey's is the
I actually don't most times. I go to Pepsi.
Oh, do you go to, are you a Pepsi drinker?
I don't even know. Is Pepsi the Android? I got mocked on earlier today. I was like, I was having trouble calling out, and someone's like, Android. I'm like, all right, relax.
I'm not trying to be mean. I've never heard anybody say that before.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think.
You
guys do Pepsi? Yeah. Pepsi? Mateo? No.
Okay. I don't know. Coke's a little harsh for me. It's very bubbly.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But if I got a sore throat, last thing you want to do is probably drink soda, but I do.
Pepsi,
so break it up.
Like, you ever go to the urinal?
Don't ruin it.
Back at Shea Stadium, we go to the urinals or something. That's what Pepsi tastes like, what the smell is to me.
Is that what the smell is?
Yeah.
Like a toilet puck?
Okay. Kind of like that, yeah.
You're saying it's not good?
It tastes like really bad tap water.
Great candy that's not listed here. Just give me one.
Twix is pretty good.
That's it. That's your choice. Griffin?
Greg took mine. Twix is amazing. If I had to come up one on the top of my head, though, Rolos.
Okay, good. That was pretty good. This one's not available widely anymore, but you can find it probably on clearance in most places. I used to like the whatchamacallit.
Yeah, that's a phenomenal.
That's it. Candy topic done.
Wait, so what's the name of it?
Stop. Oh, that was terrible.
He started his own Who's on First joke and laughed at it himself.
I do love that on radio when someone gets no reaction. They're like, like they thought it was coming that split second. Like, nope, it wasn't coming. That was great, Griffin.
Party poopers, give me the last.
Dynamite. I love it. All right, so I asked you early in the show.
Yep.
And by the way, we're going to talk a lot of hoops, NBA, and college basketball with CT Curtis Terry in about 25 minutes.
Nice.
I asked you earlier if the Dodgers can win two or three more titles over the next, like, 6 years. We made the case that baseball is kind of has killed the dynasty because it's so balanced. The playoffs are so long. And unlike, I think the NBA is getting there in terms of balance, but it's not yet.
I don't know.
Absolutely. The NFL is absolutely not balanced. What football is smart at is they don't ever badmouth the great teams or the great quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Like, they don't lean into the only the, you know, the richest teams, the teams with the quarterbacks win. Well, it's not the richest, but the teams with quarterbacks are going to win.
Right.
There's almost no shot of your quarterback's like 12 on down that he's going to win a title.
Unless you have like a generational defense or
it's
something.
It's not balanced. And guess what? There's nothing wrong with that either.
No.
Because you have multiple villains. You can root against these great quarterbacks. It's a dare-to-dream situation for the mid-level teams. But baseball is balanced.
Yeah.
Since in this, well, I don't know what it is. I had the stat last week, but it's like going back like 31 years now, there's been 22 different champions. Everyone can win if their owners try and they have good management.
I think it's the nature of the sport, though, not just the way it's constructed. Like, right. You could have a great team and still lose in baseball in a seven-game series. You know,
and that's the thing. If you go back and you look at even dominant teams, how many close games they win and how many times you did. Like last night, it just comes down to.
Yep.
Gerrit Cole falls apart. Aaron Judge can't catch a fly ball. Volpe, bad throw, and then someone doesn't cover first.
Yep.
So four or five bad plays. Everything is, real close in baseball. So that's what – you should actually appreciate dynasties even more in baseball because it ain't – because you'll remember when – especially the Yankees, and this always annoys us as Yankee fans, like, they bought all their titles. Like, no, they actually played really solid baseball.
It was the one time we did the right thing is we actually won.
And they had a core four, and Steinbrenner didn't trade away all their young guys, so that's why they finally won. The Dodgers have a juggernaut.
Yes.
So going into next year, and I apologize if I don't have all the free agents. I looked it up real quick, but they should have, let's just assume health. Walker Buehler, who, by the way, we didn't even talk about him. How ridiculous is that? On one day's notice, and this is what great pitchers do, he comes in and he was like Dennis Eckersley closer, whatever, Class A from this year.
Sure.
He was no one was going to hit anything he was throwing. Awesome. Buehler, Glasnow, Yamamoto, and then I just start backing it up with pitching depth. So that Landon Nakai came in last night through 95. He was good starting this year. Gavin Stone was good until he wore out. I want to get to Shohei in a second, but they've got other pitchers. They could re-sign Flaherty. They shouldn't be able to. Someone better step up and grab him. Dustin May off injury. Tony Gonsolin off injury. Emmett Sheehan. Bobby Miller, who inexplicably sucked this year but was really good his rookie year. Now Shohei. What do you do?
You mean, do I pitch him again if he's healthy or what?
Well, I think a lot of people are like, starting pitcher?
Yeah, no way. I would never let him be a starting pitcher again.
I agree.
Yeah, there's no way.
Griffin?
That's Shohei Ohtani. That is the best player in the MLB currently. You let him play whatever he wants to play. Get him on there as much as possible.
Does he want to be a starting pitcher, though?
Are you trying to be a horse's ass hot taker?
Does he want to win World Series? Does he want to keep winning them?
That actually is a good angle topic. What if Shohei is insistent? And he's like, no, I'm pitching.
No. Sorry.
That's what I would like to do, too.
No way.
Right?
Yeah.
Dude, you went 54 and 59. I think you can go 60 and 80 this year.
Yeah.
Why? The only way I pitch him, the way I would use him, is once a week as maybe a long closer.
Sure. Yeah.
You go out there, you pitch once, max twice, go out and throw 100 miles an hour if you want. You know?
Yeah, put him into the eighth.
But I'm not doing wear and tear. And I'm also, like, if I'm using him as a reliever, you're not going back-to-back days.
No, no, of course not.
But I'm not, I don't want to put any wear and tear. He's so good as a hitter.
Yeah.
Like, oh, but you paid him $700 million. Did you see what he did this year?
Exactly.
Was that not a $70 million season?
And then
he's got a freaking pitch, too?
They just won the World Series without him pitching. Like, what? Why would you mess with that? Yeah, I remember a long time ago, it's not really a good comparison because he didn't hit, but Jabba Chamberlain with the Yankees, he was a great closer, great relief guy. And they're like, nope, he's a starter. And then that completely ruined him.
He's found his niche.
Yeah.
His niche is Babe Ruth. What did Babe do? Once he started hitting, he just hit.
Yes.
I mean, he pitched a couple years. But
right.
And he wasn't even close to the level of pitcher in terms of velocity and durability. Well, he was pretty durable. They used to throw 500 innings in the past. But but they got it. They're like, we're not – you're a 60-homer guy in an era where everyone else is hitting 11. You know what I mean? You're like, you're not pitching, Gabe. Sorry. Have all the hot dogs you want. You can be a fat ass and still hit. You're hitting. No more pitching.
Yeah. Yeah, he – once he went to batting, too, like back then – if you had a really, really, really good pitcher, he was probably throwing 80. You know what I mean? So, like, what's the point? Like, I don't. How much better was he than the other pitchers anyway? I don't. How much better is Shohei Ohtani going to be than another starter you can sign anyway? I mean, I don't know.
I wouldn't do it, but I can see it happening.
Yeah.
But he certainly cannot be an every 5-day starter.
Hell no! No way. No.
I'm not ever taking his bat out of the lineup.
No.
I know you can hit, you know, as a pitcher, but
yeah.
But he's not once. Once you have to take him out, then what?
Yeah, plus, I mean, they're probably going to want him to play the field eventually, right? So, I mean, you're going to have him playing the field and hitting and pit. I mean, there's no way. I wouldn't do it.
Okay, remember this.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
Come April, and we're like, he's pitching every day, every 5 days. This is the dumbest thing ever. Or every 6 days.
Right.
They could do that, but I wouldn't.
No.
All right, another Halloween theme. I saw someone sending out I'll give credit to the guy. It was Mike Prater in Boise, radio guy up there, and he was like, "Who's the scariest Boise State football player ever?" Eh. Who is? And Griffin definitely has to be in on this because he's a big guy. You're a big guy. I'm short and squatty. Who is the scariest athlete that you've ever been around?
Now, are we talking about scary? Like, I thought they were going to do something to me, or
yes.
Scary? Okay,
that they would beat your ass if they wanted to. Like, and they're. And, my criterion is, like, you would legitimately be afraid to cross them or get them a little annoyed.
My answer's easy. I can tell you right now.
Okay, don't give it.
Okay.
Because it's not all about size.
Well, this is both.
It's not all, but look in this series.
Right.
Aaron Judge, and I know Griffin reveres the guy, right? Aaron Judge is 6'7", 282 pounds.
Right.
He has the build to be like the meanest looking defensive end you'd ever see in the National Football League. And he probably wouldn't weigh 282.
Right.
Think about it. He carries 282 like it's nothing.
I know.
Like he'd probably be a left tackle and weigh 330 pounds and still look slim.
Yeah.
Or a nasty defensive end at that same weight.
Right.
So size is not everything. Now, my list includes a lot. We don't have to go down this path. A lot of fighters. So you kind of already know that
100% is mine.
They're crazy and violent.
Yeah.
Griffin, Griffin is the resident, truly big guy. Adam's a big guy, you know, not as tall. And it's funny with Adam, he always seems to the big guys gravitate to him and try to, like, knock him around a little bit.
Yeah.
Like he's had, you come up and hit him on the back, like, oh, what's a big fella? Griffin, do you have someone where you're like, ooh, okay, that guy? And even if they're smaller, like we were talking about Fletcher Cox earlier. Just because you're 6'5", 250 doesn't mean Fletcher Cox might not rip you in half.
If I had to say a fighter, an athlete, which
could be
the same
could be
like
any,
as you.
Any athlete, and it could be an offbeat sport. It could be a freaking hockey player.
Nah, I'm the same as you. My list is just full of fighters, but I think the one at the top of the list, I was debating whether I wanted to go with a heavyweight, but honestly, I think the scariest would probably be Khabib Nurmagomedov.
He's 5'10", 180.
Do you think us three and then Khabib in a room, do you think any of us are leaving that room?
All three of us?
All three of us.
Here we go.
Khabib.
Here
are
we
you
go.
Kidding?
Here we go. Here goes. Here goes Greg.
All three of us?
Fighting all three. Greg. With ease.
Yes. Come on.
Did you watch the Conor versus Khabib fight?
Man, I'm not saying he's not a badass. He's, you know, he's kill me, but I'm just saying all three of us.
Should we set up? Is this the new standard? So we're looking at, on a day of scary costumes, scariest athlete, Now the challenge is that athlete would be able to get out of the room with me, Greg, and Griffin there. Yeah. I feel like this list is thousands deep.
I don't know, man.
Come on.
What are you going to do against Khabib?
There's three of us.
What am I going to do?
What are any
of us? Lay on him. I'll take care of the rest.
I don't think you can.
Man, come on.
He would absolutely knock me out, you out. He would grapple Steve to the ground till passed out.
He wouldn't have to. I would pee myself and go in the corner.
Wow. We all would.
If we were trying, there's no way. Three people.
I would. Okay. Truth be told, I would try. I would get knocked out.
Maybe.
He would punch me in the face. I've tried.
Yeah, but he went. There's three of us.
I have tried this many times where I'm like, this person's not going to punch me in the face. Oh, they did.
Greg, this is the same guy who beat up Conor McGregor, got a victory over him, and then hopped out of the octagon to go whoop his friends as well. That's the kind of man we're dealing with right now.
I'm not saying he's not a badass. I'm just saying you put anybody in the room with three of us, we're coming out of the room.
No.
Sorry.
No.
Three of us?
No way.
Against the former lightweight champion of the UFC, against one of the craziest Dagestani.
I'm not. You're making it seem like I'm saying I don't understand how badass this guy is. I understand. I'm just saying there's three of us.
I think
like,
he wasn't even known.
Somebody can distract him while the other guy tackles him onto the ground.
other sports with mean guys and like mean, big, like killer instinct guys. I'm going to go way off beat, but he was so weird and uncontrollable. Do you remember Albert Bell from the Guardians?
Yes.
He's like 6'3", 230. Allegedly, because I think the roid thing is part of this too.
Yes,
there's another. This is like the PCP, you know, like the cops are trying to get a guy. And they're like, what the? He's got superhuman strength. Like, I don't think I'd want to. I don't think I'd want to mess with Albert Bell, and like say the wrong thing to him because I don't think there's rules with Albert Bell. And now he's like 55 years old.
Plus, he'll hit us with a corked bat or something. But three of us. I still think we're taking Albert Bell. I'm sorry.
I'll give you another guy. Because I think this guy is not only big and gigantic, but I really think he just doesn't like people.
Yeah.
And also enjoys beating people up. Like, it makes him happy. We're not getting out of a room with Brock Lesnar.
Oh, absolutely not.
Okay,
absolutely
that guy's tremendous, not. Though. So, yeah, maybe Brock Lesnar will kill all three of us. But he's huge.
I'll go really far back. I don't think Griffin's going to know who this guy is. And maybe I think you will. Because of the era and the kind of stuff they were taking as supplements, and he just seemed like a psycho, like frothing at the mouth. Would you want to go into a room with old Lyle Alzado? Do you remember him?
Oh, yeah. No way, dude.
That's the first one I got! Dude, that guy was...
Yeah, he was
keep
a
saying,
maniac.
Dude, like, dude, but...
Talking about steroids, by the way, he openly admitted that he was taking, like, you know, 1,000 cc's a week. That guy,
like,
great.
I don't think it was what we see today.
Yeah, no, it was like old school steroids that they give horses and stuff. I mean, this guy was out of his mind. Yeah, I mean, that's, but again, he's gigantic. You know, he's not 180 pounds. I mean, he's a big dude.
If we're gonna throw Lyle Alzado in there, I want to throw Dick Butkus as well. I don't know.
Nah,
if you
we'll take Dick Butkus.
I don't know if Dick Butkus, what if he was even sure? on anything back in the playing days, but
he
just
was.
The mentality was disgusting.
I think all three of us could take Dick Butkus.
He looked like he had broken hands all the time.
He did. It's kind of like
it's pretty tough.
It's like Chuck Bednarik. He had like an extra finger coming out of his hand. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, those guys are tough. Don't get me wrong, but I mean, I still think three people it's hard. I mean, I don't know. Can I give you mine, or do you not care?
No, we're building up to it.
Oh, sorry.
Better be good.
No, that's not great. It is good.
But for you, if you think it's someone who's...
Well, I thought it was somebody we'd actually met. So, I mean, mine
I can name a lot of people I've met. I mean,
I have two times with Mike Tyson that I've met Mike Tyson. One time, I got really cool Mike Tyson that was like in a playful mood, happy. The second time, he threatened to eat my co-host. So, and that was kind of scary because you don't realize until you're in a room with Mike Tyson, he's got like those Jamal Anderson legs that are like just, you know what I mean? He always wears these short shorts.
I'll tell you, the other thing with pro athletes, even if like Tyson, they're 5'9 or 5'10.
Yeah.
Their hands are just massive. Like their mitts.
Yes.
Because they're so big, you just figure that fist
will
just go through your skull.
And he's the kind of guy that I feel like is just absolutely insane. You know, I mean, not in a bad way.
Like,
this
is fun. I'm tearing this guy's flesh from his arm.
Exactly.
Enjoying this.
He told Sparks he was going to eat him.
Really?
Yeah.
Did he smile?
Kind of. I mean,
was it like a six mile or like?
It was a really weird vibe because we came into this room. It was kind of like, you ever see The Great White Hype where there's like a whole entourage of people and they're eating and stuff? So there was like
there was other people in there.
Yeah, there was like 10 guys in there, like eating whatever, and he was just not in a good mood. I don't know if he had a bad day or whatever it was. He was like kind of like wanting to get the interview over with, and then I was trying to ask him like silly questions and stuff, like, "Hey, what would you do if this happened?" And then he was just like, "I'll eat him." And I was like, "Oh, okay." But he didn't like look like it was. He didn't say like, "I'll eat him." Ha ha ha. It was kind of like, "Yeah, I'll eat him." Just kind of looked at it. So I was like, "Oh."
The point is, in the sports world, there are people who look tough, and then there's the ones like you know are tough and like violence,
yeah.
and are just mean and like don't like people.
Yeah, and
like
he's
a big
just,
man syndrome.
He's so compact and big and just oh my, yeah, it's just like
explosion of fists.
Yeah, it's just
I don't know where this is coming.
This scared
from.
The living crap out of me just sitting next to him.
He won't stop hitting me. Please. All right, we got a break. We'll roll this by Curtis Terry. I don't know. I guess I could come up with some basketball players. I think there's some mean ones out there. I know that there's one guy who's a kickboxer. Man, I wish he would retire. So he
could play. Yeah. What's his name again?
We'll address it on the way back. But, yeah, scariest athletes. There's some scary ones all time, like real mean, nasty people.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live from Stadium Swim at Circa Las Vegas.
A lot of rhythm, Greg. Salerno's here at Circa. He is really festive. I think we cheered you up. I think we helped you today.
Yeah, I was actually in a really bad mood.
Monster match.
I think we cheered you up after the Yankees lost last night.
It was the Yankees loss.
You needed this.
Me being stuck at the station for 4 hours, I didn't think I was going to be. So
see? Therapeutic.
Everything together. Yeah, help me.
There we go. Let's bring in Curtis Terry. It's a happy day, Curtis. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well. How you fellas doing?
Not that great. I was just lying. Yankees lost last night. We're kind of miserable. Oh, boy. What are you going to do? We were just talking about scary costumes to scariest athletes of all time. And I mean, like, someone who would whoop your ass or you're around. You know, they're just, like, just kind of mean all the time. Can you name a basketball player that maybe your brother played against or you played internationally or in college where you're like, this person is, like, if they want, they're a little unhinged. I heard some good stories the other day about Charles Oakley.
That me too.
He did some smacking over the years.
In the locker room.
As a coach, he would go. I forget who it was, but it was like he will come in and smack you right in the face.
I heard there was like loan sharking too, where he would smack dudes that were like late.
I mean that's a guy in basketball where you're like he doesn't like people. He's mean. You got someone CT that you've heard stories about?
Man, no, not personally. Which I think is a good thing, obviously, because I like to pop off at the mouth sometimes on the court, so I didn't want to mess with the wrong guys. But I know if we got my brother on the horn, I'm sure he's got some good ones. He's played with some guys I guess you would call unhinged for sure. So I'll have to tap in with him and try to get some stories for next time.
Yeah, I'm waiting for someone to finally challenge Draymond Green and put him down.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't think that's going to be too tough to do. Just got to find the right crazy guy. I mean, I don't think he's that tough. He's crazy. But crazy, you got to be crazy to be tough and tough to be crazy, but
yeah,
I think if he keeps barking up the wrong tree, I think somebody's going to chop that one down here sooner or later.
Crazy helps. It helps a lot. It's a good edge to have. Very good edge. All right, I want to get to the Rebels here with the first game on the horizon on Monday. And Curtis is one of the voices of the Runner Rebels and a co-host of the Kevin Kruger radio show. But Greg's a big NBA fan, so am I. I know you love the NBA, and we got a little material here to review. So let's talk about out of the gates. Okay, first of all, on the news front, you know Philly as a city is going crazy with Embiid. So what's the latest now with Joel Embiid? And this, we talked about investigation, fines. What's happening here? Is he ready to play?
It sounds like he's close. It sounds like he's progressing on a smooth, natural timetable or timeline, and he's heading towards playing. I think they said maybe Saturday or Sunday, but he's still yet to play as along with Paul George, and they're struggling out of the gates. And I think we kind of expected that, obviously, when Paul George goes down in the preseason with that hyperextended knee or kind of that sprained knee with no Joel Embiid. So those guys, I mean, legitimately hurt, I think Paul George is. With Embiid, it sounds like what they did is the Sixers went and got fined, right? $100,000 fine, not necessarily for Joel Embiid sitting out, but for the comments that they made related to the status of his health with his knee. And I think we kind of talked about that last week in terms of are they kind of blowing smoke and mirrors? Are they legitimately keep sitting him out for good reason? Obviously, the NBA said there's not very much truth to him sitting out necessarily, but the way they went about it and publicly made those statements. So $100,000 lighter are the Philadelphia 76ers, but they're yet to get Joel Embiid on the court and Paul George. I know the longer they wait, though, the more trouble they're going to get and the further they're going to slide in those standings.
Let's talk about some first impressions, 4 or 5 games in. They were not good in the second half last night, Orlando, but your guy, Paolo Banchero, the big Italian, on fire to start the season.
Yeah, I think we talked about this a couple weeks ago. It might have been with JVT in terms of kind of who we're looking at, and it might have been Greg, but in terms of who we're looking at for surprises or for kind of breakout season in the NBA. And I think it's hard to say that a former number one overall pick, you're excited for them to have a breakout year. But I've been high on Paolo Banchero, obviously a guy from the Seattle area. Watched a lot of him in high school. I watched a lot of him in that one season when he was at Duke. And for him to go out the other night and put up 37 in the first half, drop 50. He's had three games over 31 points so far on the season. He's led them to, I think, a 3-2 record. And so Paolo is a kid that is doing a lot of good things. There's been comments that he's one of the future faces of the NBA. And kind of stepping into that role. And in terms of what he can do at his size, at 6'8", 6'9", great size, strength, athleticism, shot making, playmaking. This is a guy that's going to continue to be nightly on SportsCenter, making top plays. But Paolo Banchero is definitely a guy we all should be keeping an eye on, if not for anything, for him to come out and put 50 up in the third game of the season in his second season in the NBA.
Talking to Curtis Terry, coming into the season, it looked like the Warriors are going to be rebuilding. People didn't really think much of them. Looks like they've been actually surprising people. How have you been seeing them coming into the season?
You know, it's interesting because I think the Warriors, you always think, if we got Steph Curry, or Draymond Green, we got a chance. Obviously, when they lose Klay Thompson, they're not quite sure what was going to happen or kind of how that new big two and how they're going to refill those guys, replace those guys was going to go. I had the opportunity, like I told you guys last week, I had the opportunity to go down to Salt Lake last week and got to see Steph Curry and company in person against the Jazz. And the thing with the Jazz is, they were up 10 points to start that game. They turn around and lose by 41 points. So that was a 51-point swing. and it was amazing how it happened because it seemed like they'd come down, they'd miss a shot. And the Warriors, kind of the Warriors of that 2016 era in terms of just getting the ball, playing fast, playing in space, knocking down shots, sharing the ball. And Buddy Hield was a recipient of a lot of wide-open catch-and-shoot threes. Pajemski made a lot of good plays. Kuminga was slicing through the lane, get out in transition. And so I think in terms of what you see with the Warriors, even with Steph out these last few games, Buddy Hield, obviously big-time player in college basketball, and I think the stat was in the last five seasons in the NBA, he's made the most three-pointers, and second is Steph Curry. So I think what they've been able to do and what they're going to continue to do, I think Steve Kerr's not reinvented this team, but kind of got them back to their old ways because they're a lot of fun to watch on the floor, even though they don't got the big all-star name that they've had in the past.
Yeah, I watched a lot of that game against the Pelicans the other night, and yeah, I sat there and I'm like, I don't understand how Buddy Hield just kind of disappeared and didn't blend in, and now he's on the freaking Warriors as another guy on the wing. He looked awesome that night, and I'll tell you, on the other side, I hate what the Pelicans do on offense when Zion Williamson's in the game. That is the dumbest offense. I mean, it's not really an offense. It's a clear out, and then Brandon Ingram just stands around like, throw him the ball. You're drawing three defenders on the drive. Zion, pass the ball to the perimeter every once in a while.
Yeah, it's tough. It's interesting to me. I mean, obviously, if you have moments, you can pick and choose your spots in the game where Zion is. It's hard to cover him. I mean, he can go one on one if you clear him out or put him at the top and kind of ISO him. He's going to be able to create opportunities. If he can't score, he can find guys. But I think it's the thing that's going to be a standout and it's going to be missing for them until they get him back is DeJounte Murray. When they were able to get him from the Hawks. You slide him in to be your point guard, kind of to run the show, put C.J. McCollum on the wing, Brandon Ingram and Zion. Then you've really got something because DJ Baby Boy, what they call him up here in Seattle, he's a guy that does a lot. He can rebound, he can score, he can defend. He's kind of a Swiss Army knife on the floor, does everything. But when you lose him, I feel like you lose your playmaker and really guys that kind of get you orchestrated. So, like, now with the Phoenix Suns, in terms of them finding a point guard, same thing with the Pelicans, when they find that point guard, they had him. Things were going to operate smoothly. But now that he's out, I think they're going to try to have to keep their head above water so they can get him back around Thanksgiving here in a couple weeks.
Curtis, the Lakers started out 3-0 against some good teams. Looked like they were doing pretty good. Got blown out by the Cavs. I think they're now 3-2. Do you see them as legit contenders at all, or are they kind of just you think they're going to fold up eventually?
I'm not. You guys know where I stand. Steve, you definitely know where I stand with LeBron and the Lakers.
yeah.
For me, I think with the Lakers, I mean, we say that they go 3-0 against good teams. Yes, but I think at this stage of the season, it's hard to say that the T-Wolves are where they were. Honestly, right. They beat the Suns. The Kings, not nearly where they're supposed to be yet. But it's interesting to see what's going to happen. Obviously, I think the early part of the season was a lot of hype with LeBron and Bronny playing. That was kind of going to carry the storylines. I think now you're going to see, we're going to have to see what J.J. Redick is going to be able to do as the head coach of the Lakers, what his staff is going to be able to do to put them in a position to be successful. Because, again, it's all great. Everybody's happy. Kind of like Kyle Perry said the other night, they've got great fans in Arkansas. They're cheering. They're happy. Everything's going good after their exhibition game win. But that's because they haven't lost a game yet. But now, once you lose games, once you face some adversity, how are you going to respond? And we're going to see it here now. I mean, with the Lakers losing a couple games in a row, how are they going to bounce back? And when the honeymoon is over, LeBron and Bronny playing together, because the G League is coming up here. They just had the draft this past weekend. They're going to be starting up in the next week and a half or so. What's going to be able to carry these guys? Because it can't be just Anthony Davis. It's not enough, and they really have no bench production right now, in my opinion. So they're going to have to figure something out to kind of trigger these guys to get them going. They're going to have a bunch of guys step up and help this team get to where they need to get to take the pressure off of LeBron James and Sabres.
How is Westbrook going to work with the Nuggets? He had 22 in the overtime win in Brooklyn. Why will he work?
I think Westbrook is going to work because Westbrook's a dog, right? He brings the energy. He's a competitor. Every night out, he's going to come to play, bring that hard hat mentality. And he has no problem mixing it up with guys and kind of chipping, being chirpy, just being that pest, that irritant that you don't want to play against, but you're glad to have him on your team. And he plays so dang hard every possession. I think that's going to be infectious for them. I think he's kind of going to fill that role what they lost in terms of with Bruce a couple years ago when they won that championship and he moved on. But you've got to find somebody that's going to come off the bench to find that energy when your starters don't have it. And that's what the Nuggets lacked last year. And so I think now with Westbrook being able to kind of jumpstart them, being coming off the bench, being that microwave, bringing the energy and just getting them going is going to be helpful. Because, again, when he gets it going like he did the other night, puts up 22, talks a lot of smack, but gets them guys motivated, it's only going to bode well for them, especially for those young guys like Liberty High School native Julian Strother, be able to get him somebody to kind of fall into, lean into, and to show the way.
College basketball right around the corner. UNLV opening up at the Thomas and Mack. It's actually two games going on that evening. Cox Pavilion, Lady Rebels will open at 6:30. The men open at 8:30 against Alabama State. It sounded like really terrible news at the beginning of the week with DJ Thomas. Ankle could be down for a couple of weeks. I have a feeling he won't play against Alabama State, but I think he's going to be back for Memphis. But, you know, in the meantime, they're going to have to find people who can handle the ball, run the offense, and if needed, press break.
Have to find somebody to take that pressure off. Obviously, with DJ out, a guy that last year was just the most valuable, the most resilient guy, the most dependable guy, played all 34 games, started all 34 games in which he played as a true freshman. But what he did in terms of scoring, facilitating, co-Mountain West Freshman of the Year, and this year being preseason all Mountain West team. But somebody's going to have to handle the ball. I think Brooklyn Hicks is going to have to shoulder that. Coach said Jaden Henley's going to have to shoulder some of that as well as Jaden Bedford. It's going to have to be by committee. And I think Coach made these comments in the press here the last couple of days. They're not going to have one guy step in and fill the role of what DJ does. And I don't think you want somebody to try to have the pressure to do that. But you're going to have it done by committee, have multiple guys step up, have guys play a little bit above what they normally do. But one thing, the way to flip that and really make that something that you can relish in while he is out, and Coach said it best, is to turn up the pressure on defense, to be even more aggressive, to be more free-flowing. You're going to have bigger guys on the floor now with DJ out, to be a little bit more scrappier, get out in transition more, get some easier baskets. So it's going to be interesting to see what the Rebels do on Monday against Alabama State. And then you got a quick turnaround in terms of having a respectable program come in with Coach Penny Hardaway and the Memphis Tigers a week from this Saturday. So they're going to have to get to it either with or without DJ for that second game. But we'll see how long that actually is going to last.
Curtis, a lot of times a city's team, like let's say the Phillies are really good, then all of a sudden it kind of spreads a little bit over to the other team and the Eagles start being good or whatever. Does UNLV football being a lot better than it's ever been, does that help UNLV basketball at all, or am I kind of just no idea what I'm talking about?
No, I think there's some validity to that. I think for one thing, especially from the college standpoint, I think it's going to motivate the guys on the Runner Rebels to have more success, to work a little bit harder. They go to the games. They go to Allegiant Stadium. They're on campus. They hear the noise around the city of everybody supporting Coach Odom and the Rebels on the football field, and rightfully so. And I think that's going to spur and bring good competitive vibes, and that's what you want to have. And so, I mean, if you've got Coach Lyndon the Rock and the Lady Rebels are playing well, if you've got Coach Odom and the guys on the football team playing well, and if you get Coach Kevin Kruger and his guys to start playing well, and then you're talking about UNLV and what they're doing from an athletic department-wide standpoint, a lot of competitive teams, and it can be infectious. And I think in a city like Las Vegas, we all know that we love and call home. It's a city that respects the blue-collar worker and guys and people coming in, punching the clock night in and night out to make sure that city runs like a well-oiled machine as it is. And I think these guys on this basketball team are going to find some passion, some joy, and some emphasis to try to get things done so they can have the same success and have same kind of fun and get people in the Thomas and Mack, like 42,000, filled up Legion Stadium the other day.
We've got some basketball tickets giveaway before we cut TT loose. We got Ohio State, Texas playing next week, South Carolina. It's over at T-Mobile, ticketsaxs.com. We'll take caller 7 right now, 364-1100. What that is going to lead to eventually is a Final Four here in Vegas in 2028. And we've got four of the big programs around college basketball, Duke, Arizona, Indiana, Kansas, going to kind of do a test tryout of Allegiant Stadium. That'll be kind of neat. That's coming up a while down the road. It's 2027, but a big event.
Obviously, with that 2028 Final Four coming, again, years away, but we're prepping for it. It's going to be a huge event. Me, selfishly, hopefully the Rebels can be in contention to kind of make that. That would be a lot of fun as well. But nonetheless, like kind of like that warm-up, like you talked about, that Hall of Fame series with Duke, Zona, Indiana, Kansas, fall or November 2027, kind of set the stage. And, and for me, when you read through that press release, you got to give a shout-out to Melissa Meacham-Grossman, the better half of UNLV Athletics SID, Andy Grossman, what she does with Precision Sports and kind of putting on those events, not just in Vegas, but in Phoenix and kind of across the country. She's one of the best in the business, and for her to bring that back to Vegas, so that way us Vegas, us people, can be able to enjoy that sporting event. If we can't have a team playing in it, at least we can be able to get some tickets, and if not, I guess we'll have to pull out our credentials and go cover it. But another great event coming to the great city of Las Vegas.
Curtis, good job. See you next week.
We'll see you here. Yes, sir.
There he is, Curtis Terry.
Thanks,
weird
man.
Pause by me. I don't know why I did that.
I do it all the time.
Yeah. It's odd.
I'm odd.
Coach's show debuting Kruger Show next Tuesday. So a lot of questions to answer. High hopes for the season. They were picked fifth in the Mountain West Conference.
How do you feel about that?
The fifth? I think based on the roster, without seeing, cohesion yet.
Right.
I think it's about right. But can they be top three? Yeah. I think DJ Thomas has a chance to be player of the year in the conference. I think he was probably the MVP last year, and he's great. I saw Field of 68 was a really good college basketball podcast and info site and good Twitter handle. They've been revealing the top 100 players in the country, and if I've looked at 100 through 30, I haven't seen DJ Thomas. I think if they don't have him in the top 100, I think he's a top 50 player, and I think he has a chance to be, six assists, low turnovers, 35-minute-a-night guy, and now score like 18 a game. That's how he's really good. And for a young guy, man, he commands the court. I think he's going to be awesome. And their fortunes, a lot of it relies on him. If he has a great year, I think they have a chance to make the NCAA tournament.
Cofield and Company presents Grab Bag on ESPN Las Vegus.
Stick your hand in there, dude.
Okay. So update on Halloween. I think I will be handing out candy now, so that's good. I can control the candy output. I will enforce the rules. You have to say trick or treat. Not like a baby doesn't have to say it. But I will not tolerate a 9-year-old just coming up and going bag, because I've had that happen before. Like, and I try to promptly be like, "Happy Halloween!" Say something. Mike Romala, who's on Bischoff's show with Ed Graney. It's really Graney's show and really Danny's show. He was bragging today. I was over at UNLV basketball practice, and he's like, "Full bars, I'm giving out the full bars." And I was like, "Come on, bro." So he tweeted me a picture of the full bars. It's a bowl with like 23 things of candy. Like, that's not going to last.
Oh, yeah, you'll be done in 10 minutes.
Like, just because you gave out full bars and you're done in 14 minutes, that's...
Yeah.
No, the whole night.
Right.
We're talking, like, right now is officially... It's getting dark. So I'm saying 5:30 until pushing 9 o'clock. Full bars the entire time.
Yeah, well, that's about $4,000.
And let me tell you, my neighborhood,
yeah,
it's on.
Is it really?
Like, there's cars driving all over the place. Families are coming up. There's 7 kids.
Wow.
Little kids up to, 16, 17. Like, you got to have a candy supply. We're going to run out. I know we are.
Well, dude, even the bags of the little candy are like 40 bucks, some of them. So I don't know who's doing full bars.
He's very much into bits.
I see.
So.
All right.
I don't know where he lives. I should go over. I should actually drive. I should just redirect, have 80 kids.
Dude, bust some
like
kids in.
In 10 minutes. Yeah, right? Yeah. And then, like, have them get really, like, I heard you were giving away full bars and start banging on the door.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
As he's all hold, you know, holed up in his bedroom.
Well, once the bars are out, send him over.
Yeah.
Because then.
And that's the fear.
Then it gets interesting.
Because I get so guilt-ridden, I've made runs for candy in the middle of Halloween candy giveaway. Like, I'm like, we don't have any. Like, I got to go to the store.
Yeah, I used to disconnect my doorbell.
Did you?
Yeah. I swear.
Well, the sad thing is I think it's down to like 1 in 5 houses in most neighborhoods that are giving away candy. So,
is it really?
We try to do our best.
I don't know. Vegas is weird, though. There's no neighborhoods like there is, you know.
And that's the thing. There's no camaraderie. There's no partnership kind of thing in a neighborhood. And all of a sudden you're like, hey, let's be a neighborhood. Like, nah. We gave up. 364 a year. We're not a neighborhood.
Yeah.
All right. Look at the Jets. Look at the Jets. What's the score of the game? I can't see the TV. It's 143-foot screen.
Goose eggs.
Surprising that the Jets are putting on a boring game.
Yeah. Their offense looks bad, bro.
It's New York teams. We're begging you, NFL. New York teams, we got to stop. You got to stop putting them in primetime. It's just, it's tough, man.
Yeah.
I am a Jets fan. I don't want to see it. I want to be buried on Sunday. I want to be the 8th game on a Sunday so I can be in a corner. I don't want to see it primetime.
But you know what?
That said, great game on the way. It's unfolding. Circa, Stadium Swim. Get on down here.